Right now on Robinhood Radio, it is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, joins us on a Tuesday morning. He is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, sports, brings many years of experience to a lot of different topics, a true entrepreneurial spirit. Here's Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Marshall. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing lousy, and I'll tell you why. I watched some news this week, of course, with what's going on, and I feel terrible for the people of the Ukraine, for what they're going through and being invaded by their neighbor. And basically, even though they're two different countries, at one time they were all under the USSR, this is almost like a civil war where it's Russians killing Russians, even though now they're Ukrainians. And I saw images on the BBC and on CNN that were striking and sad. And those are the images of the citizens of the Ukraine that are dying in this war, but also pictures and videos of the soldiers. And on both sides, the soldiers from the Ukraine and the soldiers from Russia, Belarus, wherever. And the thing that hit me is these soldiers are all 19 and 20-year-olds. And it just brought me back to seeing the 19 and 20-year-olds American soldiers who died in Afghanistan and Iraq. And this is a horrible, horrible thing affecting everybody except for one person. And that is Putin. It's just a tragedy that's beyond comprehension that didn't have to happen. I mean, yeah, we were invited into Iraq originally to help when Iraq invaded the neighboring country, and we were we went into Afghanistan to get bin Laden. This is something totally different, and I don't know, Jim. It not only affects the lives and the future lives and generations of Russians and Ukrainians in the future, families, but this really is encompassing the whole world, and it's encompassing the whole world at a time where the world has enough going on that this is just a terrible tinder point.
Incredible, isn't it? You mentioned these images on television. It's amazing. This Ukraine situation has taken up so much space in our media, in our communications, that the pandemic, it's there somewhere, but you don't really get much information about it. And the startling thing is we went from this one very dramatic, kind of frightening situation with the pandemic, with the Omicron and so forth. And now all of a sudden we're in another one, a different one, which also has the possibility of impacting negatively thousands and thousands of people, not only in Ukraine and Russia, but if this gets out of hand, which I don't think it will, it'll be a pox on just about every country in the world, and certainly in Europe. On a positive note, if there is a positive note, the Chinese, when this situation went to the UN for a vote, they didn't vote no, as Russia did. Rather, they abstained. And there's a thought going around that the Chinese are not exactly pleased with what Putin has been doing, namely killing innocent civilians who haven't done anything other than get up in the morning and go to work. So I'm hopeful that maybe the Chinese head might just begin whispering in Putin's ear, you know, we We gave you an order for a lot of corn a week or so ago, but we didn't expect you to be feeding a lot of fighters with it. It's so ironic how this has just turned things upside down.
You know,
it's been Putin's idea to try and break up NATO, and he had Trump on his side for a while. And now what he's done, he's made NATO even stronger, and probably two additional people will want to become part of it.
You know, you're right there, Jim. Not only has NATO become stronger, people were saying that NATO was outdated. Well, guess what? It's not. It's not. NATO is something that is going to keep Europe secure.
Well, that's the sad part of this is NATO was created after the Second World War because we didn't want to go through another war, and we felt if we were allied and strong, then, you know, people would think twice before starting to fight. Well, along came Putin, and he's had this dream, apparently, of going back before 1991, when the Russian regime collapsed. And he is apparently trying to reconstitute that particular federation. Now, that's actually pretty impossible based on the fact that seven countries that ring Russia are now NATO people. So if he starts fussing with them, then NATO will start going in on the ground, in the air, and by ship. But I'm afraid, I hope I'm wrong, I hope Putin has just miscalculated, but from experts who followed him for years and years, his speeches and his demeanor and so forth, and even apparently from a few people in the Russian government whose names are not known, there's whispers that, you know, this man might have lost it, and he might have just decided he was going to go for broke in a crazy, crazy way, because there's no way he's going to get what he wanted. But what he will get, possibly, is the seeds of a revolution in Russia. The Russian people do not... Who would want war anyway? But the Russian people do not want war. They've been out in the street saying no. Ukrainian Russians have also, the citizens, have been yelling and screaming at the Russian soldiers as they've come in. And finally, we have had a number of Russian soldiers give up and be asked to be sent back to their country because Putin lied to them that they were going to be on military maneuvers. And then when they got to the line between Ukraine and Russia, they were told what the plan was. So there is a disheartening thing, how big it is, I don't know, in the Russian military. Hopefully that will begin spreading, and hopefully the soldiers will begin paying attention if they can get the communication with what the people in Russia itself are saying. This is totally, totally, totally ridiculous. I mean, it's stupid. He misplanned. He was overly optimistic. I want to point something out to you all, though. One of the problems in Ukraine was caused by Donald Trump. The Congress had sent an authorization to Trump to give foodstuffs to the Ukrainian people. And he was then having his first trial. And he was mad at Ukraine for not lying for him. And he did not sign that authorization, which is a lot of money for Ukraine to help itself in terms of feeding its people and supporting its government. So the seeds of this go back to the Trump administration, But frankly, they go back even further. The Allies demanded Ukraine give up its nuclear weapons years ago, but they did not put them in NATO. If they had done that, we wouldn't have the situation today, because we would be in there on the ground with aircraft, because it would be NATO, and we are allied to defend all of the NATO allies. But be that as it may, this is a horrible situation, and whatever we do, we've just got to keep our good thoughts for the Ukraine people and support them as much as we can in terms of the conversations, so that American citizens begin to get even more upset with this thing and put pressure on our government. I don't know what the government can do, since Joe Biden has said no boots on the ground, but there must be a few things left that we can do. Although we are providing a lot of munitions and arms, possibly we can speed that up. Possibly we can whisper in China's ear, give us a hand here. China's economy is going to get hit as much as any other economy. They're the, I guess, second largest economy in the world. And they sell a lot of products and they buy a lot of products. So this thing is, nobody wants this thing. And indicative of that, all of the nations that had formerly been Russia's allies, who basically come out and said they're against this, there's no reason for this. I believe two oligarchs, Russian oligarchs, you know, the billionaires, they've told Putin to stop this because it's ruining their free ride. They've got a lot of money. They milk the economy. And this guy is going to kill it.
You know, one of the heartwarming things I did see was a Ukrainian was traveling on a road, and there were a couple of Russian tanks that had run out of gas. And he stopped by, and he started a conversation with them. And he said to them, "What are you doing here?" And the soldiers, three soldiers replied, and the translation was, "We don't know. Why are you here? We don't know." And it was a friendly enough conversation. The guy just drove on, but it shows about the other side of war that the people that are doing the shooting are human as well. And what's even worse is that with platforms like TikTok and Twitter and stuff like that, you are bombarded with visuals that you never got before, and it's just hard to look at. Getting back to China for a second, I think China is upset with Russia, even though they want to team with Russia and pair with Russia to combat the United States. Is what does China do now with Taiwan? Okay.
Exactly.
I mean, Russia. What Russia has done has I'm sure as anything has put on hold whatever China was going to do with Taiwan, simply because now in a worldwide stance, China can't do what they wanted to what they want to do, which is basically eventually try to take back Taiwan. It had to foul up a lot of things in China, other than the economy, mainly how they deal with Taiwan.
That's an excellent point. And the difficulty for China now is that Taiwan, which we in America have been supporting for many, many years, and they have lots of military, lots of armaments, and we stand by them. But this thing with Ukraine is going to make Taiwan say to the USA, "Hey, you know, we think we could use a little bit more of this ballistic stuff and cybersecurity and so forth and so on." So it does make it very difficult for China. And it's a good thing on the one hand, we don't need any more fighting. But maybe they'll just say, "Okay, maybe we better stop the Russians before, one, they damage the whole world, and two, they get in everybody's mind. Well, you just can't run into a country and kill the civilians.
It's just and now let's take a look at the worldwide economy, which was under a lot of pressures from COVID. And I'm not only talking about the American economy; I'm talking about the worldwide economy. And it's going to get worse because you have big corporations that are going to take advantage of the situation. But it's only going to get worse. And you wonder in Russia, there's been sanctions against Russia before. But things are so bad that Russia has turned over their currency. They've backed their currency now with cryptocurrency because they can't accept dollars the way it's set up. As bad as we have it here, and as bad as it's going to be in Europe and all over the world, the Russian economy is really getting hammered.
Well, you know, on crypto, Bitcoin was up, I guess, $4,500. In the last 2 days. We know, and we discussed it on the show, the cryptocurrencies are used as a way to launder money. And Russia has been doing its laundering through major banks, Switzerland, and so forth. Well, now they can't do that anymore. Their funds are frozen. In fact, it's very interesting. Japan is also doing the same thing in terms of freezing their accounts. But the point is, if the Russians are using crypto, as you say, and I don't doubt it, and others are beginning to play that game as well, they might be in for a very, very sad awakening in that the federal government, our government, has been watching this crypto thing very intensely. And part of what the goal is to figure out how to regulate it to avoid this laundering problem that is worldwide. If indeed the federal government were to say, hey, the Russians are playing this game with crypto, why aren't we issuing sanctions against people trading in the Bitcoin? Now, they can't find the names of people, but I'm certain they can do things to force the people in, or the middlemen to stop or to reveal names and so forth. So if you're not convinced that crypto is a pretty difficult thing, we spoke about it when it was about 65 and then it went to 2 days ago 33. That's thousands of dollars. Now is not the time to waltz in.
I know that it's the fad now with people that have money, but you know, you have a currency that is beholden to nobody, that is not regulated by anybody. To me, it sets up as right now nothing more than the scams over the years, where you get in early, you make a lot of money. The people that get in late get killed. It's a pyramid scheme to me. Except it's a worldwide pyramid scheme.
Oh, man, no question about it. I mean, it's like some of those stocks, meme stocks, sometime last year, when a lot of young investors decided that they knew that it was going to the sky. Well, eventually it fell to the earth. When something looks too good to be true, it's not true, and you should approach investing in that fashion.
Well, crypto is like pyramid-like. It's there has to be a bottom, and you know that the people that get in early are the ones that will make out, it's going to be interesting to see when we go through this next 6 month period, because even if the Russians get their way and they take over the cities, they're going to be involved in hand-to-hand combat throughout the Ukraine for a long, long time. It's going to be very interesting to see how cryptocurrency matches up and goes with the rest of the world, with the rest of the worldwide financial markets, Jim, because this thing in the Ukraine is not something that's going to be over in days. It might not even be over in months. Look what happened to us in Afghanistan, and look on what happened to all these other in Vietnam. Vietnam. This is something that is going to go on for quite a long time, and it's going to affect the economy for quite a long time.
I hope you're wrong, but I'm afraid you're probably right. I do want to point out, however, if they take the cities or a city and they go in, the troops of Russia, to take over, maintain order, and so forth, they're in for a bloody, bloody time. Because their Ukrainian spirit that we've seen is so incredible. You've got kids with guns. You've got older people. The former president, prior to this man, he's got a gun. He's out there. He's supporting the new president. On a lovely note, Ukraine had a world champion boxer at one time. Well, he's got his millions of dollars, but he's got his armor on and his gun. Miss Ukraine, she is a picture on the tube with a machine gun. She's out in the street. This is the kind of thing that the Russian troops are going to find very difficult. Once they get into the city, their big weapons are useless. They're great from 5 miles away. But when you're in the city, you don't use one of these large, I'll call them cannons, to do anything. So they're going to be, as you said just 5 seconds ago, hand-to-hand fighting. It's at that point we're going to see if the Russian army has the mettle to do that kind of fighting. It's very difficult for anybody, but if indeed enough of these soldiers feel misguided, their appetite for hand-to-hand combat or going around the corner and getting shot out is going to dissipate very, very quickly.
All right. Well, with that being said, Jim, we're out of time. Hopefully, we'll have better things to talk about next week.
Amen, brother. And let's send everybody in Ukraine and throughout the European center a lot of light and love and prayers. You have a good day. See you.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.